I want to talk to you this morning about something that actually, I don't do this a lot. I don't do it very often at all. But actually, this is a sermon that I heard somebody else preach. And it was good. And when Rebecca and I, we both watched this together, and we both looked at each other and said, that message is for Dolan. And it's true, it is. And this is for you this morning. So the Lord works in mysterious ways, and so the title of this message is Stay Close to the River. One of our guests this morning was talking about sitting up close enough to get the living water on you. And I thought, I looked at him, I said, man, that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. The living water. There you are back there. In 1963, there was this little town in Mississippi, and it was called Little Gulf, Mississippi. Little Gulf. And they named it was a port city. They made a little port there on the Mississippi River. And they named it Little Gulf because it was they wanted it to be a smaller version of the Big Gulf, which was also known as New Orleans. So they had this little town called Little Gulf in 1963. And then sometime later, this man, a wealthy man, bought the whole town. And he decided to rename it. And I guess if you buy a town, you can rename it, right? You're looking at me. He renamed the town Rodney, Mississippi, after a guy that was a great mentor in his life named Rodney. He named the town after this great friend of his, Rodney, Mississippi. In the mid-1800s, this town was very prosperous, a port city. I mean, it missed by 3 votes of being the state capital of Mississippi. Jackson beat it out. Just by 3 votes. By the early 1900s, though, a change had taken place. You see, in the 1800s, I mean, they had schools, they had factories, they had businesses, they had restaurants, hotels, churches. I mean, it was a thriving, thriving city. But by the early 1900s, Rodney, Mississippi, was over 3 miles from the river. A port city 3 miles from the river is no longer a port city, and it's no longer prosperous. It dried up and became a ghost town. In its heyday, again, there were factories, businesses, hotels, restaurants, churches, schools, but it all left when the river left. When the river left. I want to tell you this morning, no matter how many great things you have going for you, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, if business is great, work is great, family is great, if the river leaves you, you die. If the river leaves you, you die. Got a lot of scripture for you this morning. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. You see, Jesus is a life-giving river. A life-giving river. Rodney, Mississippi. When the river left, the town dried up. It became a place to flee from instead of a place to run to. It lost its prominence. It became useless. And I will tell you that just like Rodney, Mississippi, if we don't have the flow, if we don't have the river that gives life, if the Spirit is not leading and directing and guiding us, if we're not in the current that brings the blessings of life, then your life will dry up. It'll become lifeless, joyless, useless. Your life will become a place to flee from instead of a place to rush to. So stay connected to the river. We got to stay connected to the river. We have to have the river. The river has a current. You know what a current is? If you get into a river that has a current, you don't just get in there and do whatever you want to do. The current kind of dictates what you can and cannot do, especially if it's, You know, when I think of a river with a current, I'm thinking of those rivers that you see people doing the whitewater rafting down there. Well, you don't just jump in there and go for a leisure swim. You certainly don't go against the current. The current dictates what we can and cannot do. The current pushes us. It pulls us. The current moves us. That's how the Holy Spirit is. Even if you do start to go in a direction that God doesn't want for you, and you begin to go after the things of this world, the things of the flesh, you got to fight the current. One way to know if you're a child of God is that if you feel that current restricting you. If you feel yourself, you want to go and do this other thing, and you're going against the current, and you feel that it's hard to do that, and you feel the current pulling and tugging you, that's an indication that you're a child of God, and God is pulling you back into the current. He's telling you, don't do that. It's not good for you. Everything within you says, don't do it. It's not good for you. But even still, if you continue to resist, the current wants to pull you back into the flow through repentance. You see, as we go through this and we start to wade shallower and shallower, what happens to the current? It gets less and less. It becomes easier. The further away from the current you get, the easier it is to get away. And then we get pulled over here. But God never stops pulling you. There's even a current there at the shoreline. And He never leaves you. I think I expressed earlier, if there's ever distance between you and God, it's not God's fault. God didn't move. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if there's now a distance, it's us that have moved. We've waded out of the current. We need to get back in the flow. Get back in the flow. The flow is good for us. The flow is a good place for us. We need to stay connected to the river. I will tell you that if you fight it long enough and you get out of the flow, you'll end up like Rodney, Mississippi. You will spiritually dry up and die. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5 says this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. I want to be a person who's after the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit. Follow that current wherever it leads. Wherever it leads you. In Exodus, I told you we got lots of scripture. Exodus 33, verse 15, Moses is talking to God and he's telling God, it just says here, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses was telling God, if you're not going there, don't make me go because I don't want to go where you're not. Don't let me go where you're not. You see, Moses got it. He didn't say, don't leave me. He said, don't make me go where you're not. I don't want to be where you're not. And in Psalm 51, verse 11, David cried out to God, said, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Basically, David was saying, I can't make it without the presence of your Spirit in my life. I need it. I'm like a port city. I'm no good without the river. I need the Spirit in my life. And again, it's not that God removes His Spirit from us or takes it. It's that most often we find that we've removed ourselves from where the Spirit is. Romans 8, 13 and 14. This one is kind of the key verse that I put in the bulletin for you today. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's how you know. That's how you know. If you're being led by the Spirit, if you're in the current and you feel that tug and you feel that movement against you, that's how you know you're a son of God. The proof that you belong to God is you allow the Holy Spirit to flow and to guide you and to lead you, not your desires, your dreams, your passions. Or listen to this, not even your guilts or regrets. I just want to say something to you this morning that's kind of a sidebar, not part of the sermon here, but Who you are is not defined by what you have done or what has been done to you. Who you are is not defined by what has happened to you or what you've done. Who you are is only defined by whose you are. So guilt and regrets, those don't define you. If you're a child of God, those are over with. That's the old stuff. That's the old has gone. And the new has come. What is the new? The new is the Holy Spirit. And He has no regrets. And He has no guilt. And He wants to instill that within you. To empower you. To enable you. To encourage you. You are who God says you are. And if you professed Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, like these just did in the baptistry, and you're genuinely living under His leadership, God has a four-letter word for you. And He says, you're mine. You are mine. And I can't think of a better word to be called than by God Himself and look at me and say, you're mine. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, Paul is writing to the Galatians. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Who has come in and messed up your thinking? You, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh? Paul is saying, you guys started strong and you started in the Spirit and now you've got it all messed up. Now you're thinking that you've got to do these things or whatever, and it's no longer about the Spirit, but it's about the doing stuff. And I love it. That fits right in with the song we sang. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you. Many have started strong. Many have started in the Spirit. Maybe it was a business, a job, a relationship, or a family, but you've waded out of the stream and you're trying to make it on your own. I got to tell you, without the river, you will die. What could make a river change its course like that? What could happen? How does a river move 3 miles from a major port city? I mean, this city was rivaling the major port cities of all the Mississippi River. This is a major port city. What could cause a river to move 3 miles from the port? Well, for Rodney, Mississippi, it was a buildup of debris and sediment. Sediment. You know what happens to sediment? You know why sediment settles? Because it settles. I mean, I my West Point education told me that. I mean, that's not that hard. If you settle, you settle. And then you become an obstacle. And you begin clogging up. And you begin being an obstruction instead of something that's useful to the flow. Over time, silt and debris settled and began to obstruct the flow of the river. Now, if you know anything about rivers, a river is still going to flow. It will. You can put a dam, but the river is still going to flow. If enough water gets backed up behind the dam, it's going to find its way. It's going to go over the top, or if an engineer was smart enough, he would have made a way to let the excess water go around. But the river is still going to flow. That's what rivers do. If you block it or allow it to be blocked, it'll just flow somewhere else. Ooh. Now, this did not happen overnight. At first, it was just this little pile of sand and some dirty old junk that got covered up with more sand that was in the river there. Just kind of some stuff, some junk, some garbage just got left there, and it began to collect and pile up. And then it got covered by more sand. Sometimes you have to get out there and you clear the channel. If you find that that's true in your life, you've got to get out there and begin to move some of that debris, some of that those attitudes, some of those feelings, some of those prejudices. You got to get there and start moving that stuff away so the current can flow again right there. If you wait very long and you don't get out there and clear it, and you still want it cleared, you're going to have to get a big piece of machinery or a dredge or something out there and do some serious excavation to reestablish the flow of the current. But if you wait too long, like Rodney, Mississippi, then it becomes something that you're unwilling to even try to tackle. And you wake up one morning and you find yourself 3 miles from the river. Why? Because you've been too apathetic or just plain old lazy to get out there and get busy and clear the debris, to keep the flow open. You've heard me say, if the river leaves, you die, but the Spirit will flow where it is not restricted or hindered. Church, the Spirit will flow where it is not restricted and where it is not hindered. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it to this side over here. The Spirit will flow where it is not restricted and it's not hindered. And I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, well, if I clap my hands and stomp my foot, that means I've got the Spirit and then we're flowing. I'm not talking about, well, if I raise my hands, that shows that I got a little more Spirit. I'm not talking about that, folks. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And if you are restricting and squelching and whatever all those other words are, stopping the Holy Spirit within you, you're going to die. If the Spirit leaves you, if the flow leaves you, you die. Don't die. Please don't die. Oh. Did you know that a flowing river, in a flowing river, if you actually get out there and begin to move stuff around, here's what's so cool about a flowing river. If you get out there, you start moving stuff around. The river, the flow of the river, the current actually helps you move stuff around. If you get out there and the river's flowing, you can stand long enough, get in there and scoop you up a bunch of that muck or gravel or whatever it is in the bottom and just pick it up like this and watch what happens to it. It won't take long, if there's much current, it won't take long until it's all washed out of your hands. And you didn't have to do it. You just had to initiate it. Get out here, get started, break up the stuff and let the flow clean that away from you. That's how the Spirit works. That's how the Spirit works. If you just loosen and break it up, the current will wash it away. You can go to Rodney, Mississippi today. It's still there. I think the only building that's standing is a church building. It's an old church building. It's about to fall down. There's nothing left there. Nothing left there. But and you will find water there. Okay? But what you'll find is this stagnant, swampy water. Swampy water. And there's no flow. There's no life in it. Now, on the outside, it looks like the city has a water supply. It looks like there's water there, and you would think, well, there's got to be life there. There's water. And that picture depicts a lot of Christians. You look at them on the outside, and you see water. And they're saying, I've got water. Look, I've got water. I don't have any town left. There's nothing here. Nobody wants to be here. But I've got water. It depicts so many people that call themselves Christians. On the outside, they look like they have life, but on the inside, they're either dying or already dead. You are either after the Spirit or you're after the flesh. Not both. Not both. Do not be deceived. And for my cowboys out there, if you ride that fence long enough, all you're going to get is sore and hurt. You can't have both. You can't serve the Spirit and the flesh at the same time. You can't. It's an all or nothing deal. When the river moved, the people had to make a choice. Okay? They waited too late. The river was too far away. It was just about impossible for them to reestablish the river next to their port city. They waited too long. So they had to make a choice. Either stay and die or move to the river and live. Now, some stayed because they had too much invested where they were. Ooh. Oh, right? Some stayed, were willing to sacrifice being in the flow of the river to keep what they had invested in, to keep what they had built up, to keep what they were familiar with, to keep what they liked and loved. They would not turn loose of their stuff. Well, they withered up and they died with their stuff. Others picked up and they chased after the river. And they learned to never let the river leave them again. It's time for you to make a choice. What's most important to you? Your stuff or your life? And by stuff, I mean things like bitterness, hatred, those things that pile up in the river and begin to block the flow. Pride, prejudice, lust, and the list goes on and on and on. Are you living by the Spirit or by the flesh? Today I'm going to challenge you to choose. And I want to encourage you to choose life. Choose life. Final story. Final story today. For some time back in the early 1900s up until about the mid-1960s, there was this event that took place in Yosemite National Forest, Yosemite National Park. And it was called the Firefall. Has anybody ever heard of the Firefall? Nobody? Here's what they would do. They would, all year long, they would go out in the National Forest and they would gather up all the trees that had fallen over, the dead trees, anything that was dead. They would gather it up and they would pile it up on top of this bald granite mountain. Okay? And they would just make this huge pile of dead trees up there on top of this mountain. And then once a year, they would come and they would ignite this bonfire, this giant bonfire on top of this mountain. And the people would gather below. And it became a tradition. And that when they felt like the fire was raging enough and whatnot, they would all cry out, "Let the fire fall! Let the fire fall!" And then they would be big dozers up on top of this mountain behind it that you couldn't see them. Y'all just saw this big flame on top of the mountain. They would begin to push these coals and these embers because it had all burned down to this embers. And they would begin to push it over the edge of this big granite mountain. And it would look like a waterfall, but it was fire. It was the embers. And as they would cascade down the mountain and crash into this canyon, this dry canyon down below, it looked like a waterfall of fire. Let the fire fall. And this guy, he had experienced it. And he was wanting to go back. He wanted to experience it again. He said, "This is awesome. I want to see it again, the firefall." So he went back in the late 1960s. And he went up to one of the park rangers and said, "Hey, when is the firefall?" The park ranger looked at him and said, "The fire doesn't fall here anymore. The fire doesn't fall here any longer." That could be said of so many churches today. That could be said of so many individuals today. The fire no longer falls here. We no longer cry out for the fire to fall. The fire just doesn't fall here any longer. Isn't that sad? Now, we're just talking about an event in a spectacle of embers cascading down a mountain, but I'm talking about the deeper sense of the fire of the Holy Spirit falling on our lives, folks. And too many people just don't want to say, "Let the fire fall. Bring the fire. I want to see the fire." Why not? I think people are afraid. I think people are afraid. I know that for myself, growing up in a Southern Baptist church, I will just tell you this, that the Holy Spirit, I hate to say it, but has kind of taken a back seat. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. The Holy Spirit is life. And we need it. We need it. Get in the flow. Cry out for the fire to fall. Cry out for the fire of the Holy Spirit to continue to fall. We're seeing evidences, folks. We're seeing fire coming down into this baptismal waters right here. regularly, and I want it to keep on going. I want it to fall. I want it to continue to fall. If you're here today, we still got water. And if you need to be baptized today, I've got clothes, I've got shorts, I've got shirts. There is no reason for you to walk out of this place today not having been baptized. I just want to tell you that. That's free of charge. And if that's your desire, here in just a moment, I'm going to be standing right here. And you come express that to me. We'll make it happen for you. Make it happen for you. Where are you? Are you out in the deep current, being moved by the Spirit? Going where the Spirit wants you to go, how it wants you to go? Have you waded too close to the edge where it's easy to go against the current? Have you gotten out of the water? Friend, the river is there. The river is there. This book will tell you all about the river. I've got a river of life flowing inside of me, flowing from inside of me. Come, get wet. Get wet. Get in the river. The river's good, and it will take you to a great place. Follow the current. Don't fight against the current. What is the current tugging at you in your life? Where is the current pulling you in your life, and why are you fighting it? Friend, don't fight it. Fight it, and you'll end up waking up one day 3 miles from the river. Useless and no good for anything. Buildings falling down. You'll have parts of your heart just falling down inside because there's no life left in it. Stay close to the river. Cry out for the fire to fall. Father, help us today. Oh, Lord, help us today. Lord, I pray that we would be a people who cries out to you, bring the Holy Spirit. Bring the fire of the Holy Spirit. Bring the flow of the Holy Spirit into our lives, Father. I pray that we would be a people who worship you on our knees. I pray that we would be a people who cry out for our nation on our knees, Father. I pray that we would be a people who cry out for souls on our knees, who do whatever your Spirit leads us to do so that others might be saved. Paul said, I've become all things to all men so that some might be saved. To those under the law, I became under the law. And if somebody needed something else, Paul would have done that too. He was in the flow of the Spirit. Father, help us to be in the flow of the Spirit. Help us to understand that we cannot survive without the Holy Spirit. We cannot survive without your presence in our place. Father, too many times I believe we ask you to bless our work. Too many times we invite you to our place where we are. Oh, Father, it's we who need to be in your place. It's we who need to be in your presence. Father, continue to pull us and tug us by your Spirit. Father, I know you're speaking to some folks this morning, and I pray that you would give them the courage and the boldness to step forth and cry out for the fire to fall in their lives. It's a beautiful spectacle, Lord. It's a life-changing moment. Father, I pray that for someone that would happen today. Lead us now, Father. Help us to be submissive to your word. Help us to be submissive to the movement of the Spirit in this place. Help us to love you as you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we're going to sing a song? And if the Spirit has been tugging at you, if you felt the current of the Holy Spirit this morning, get in the water and follow that current.